Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. A very special episode of Dadcast because Nick and I are on the road. We are in Vegas. Nick, how the hell are you, man?
Dude, I'm good. A little tired, but good.
Yeah?
Good. Yeah.
A little tired.
Brought a baby to Vegas.
You did bring a baby.
Don't do it.
But you also flew the plane.
Well, I didn't fly the
plane. Well, you were in the plane.
I was in the plane. Yes. Yeah, I was in the plane. It was, I'm not a flyer. I hate it, and flying with a baby, not good.
Well, you know, in retrospect, I decided the other route, and I drove 13 and a half hours from Oregon to get here. But that's neither here nor there. We may discuss that later. But the point is we are broadcasting live inside a hot rod shop in Vegas, Ben Carey's place, and our very special guest today, the first one, the guinea pig. He's deemed the CEO of Las Vegas, Mr. Brian Lindsay. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. I don't know about that title, but there's a lot of CEOs in this town.
Yeah, well, that's what all your friends in the shop here told me to say.
Yeah, right.
He is literally the CEO of Vegas, and that's not a horrible bad thing to be, in my opinion.
No, that's true.
It's better than being, like, you know, on KP of Vegas.
Or the CEO of Pahrump. You know, that.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, you know, Dadcast, we are here to talk about all things dad. I did mention that we do occasionally go off the rails, and by occasionally, I mean every episode. So we're going to do our best to talk about dad life for a little bit, and then, you know, we'll get into the life of you, Brian Lindsay, and what your hobbies are. And, you know, I do want to talk about a certain vehicle parked out front.
Yep.
We'll get into that. And
the beast is in the house.
Oh, that thing is gnarly. You keep listening to find out, if you're a car guy, what kind of car we are talking about. Believe me, you are not going to want to go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss that discussion. Okay. So, Mr. Lindsay, you're a dad?
I am a dad.
Very proud dad.
It
is a prerequisite to be on the show that you have to be a dad.
I am definitely a dad.
Awesome. How many kids you got, man?
So I have two daughters. One is 16 and one's 18.
16 and 18.
Yep. Yeah, I was definitely worried when my wife told me that we were pregnant, and I was praying and hoping, like every man does, that they have a son first.
Right.
And then once we found out I was having a daughter, you know, it's just a magical thing.
It is. Now, on that exact topic, I swung twice.
Right.
Got one boy, one girl.
Oh, see? Well, then you can stop.
So I'm blessed, right? But I've also got a 16-year-old stepdaughter.
Okay.
So I got two daughters, one son. But the first, my, you know, blood, whatever you want to say, my firstborn was my son. So I thought, you know, I was super-duper lucky when it came that route.
No doubt.
16-year-old daughter, how is that for you? Because I can tell you, it comes up every episode. Right now, we are in a very difficult place.
We are. You know, and I would say that having a mom as awesome as their mother is, who, when we found out we were pregnant, we figured out how we were going to be able to let her stay home and be a mother, right? Which was a blessing, right? To be able to have, you know, a focused mother that was dedicated 100% to raising our child. So we made a lot of sacrifices, and you know, we cut some things out of our life to enable us to afford that. And their mother has been in their life 24/7, 7 days a week since the day they were born. And so that influence on their life has been phenomenal. Obviously, nobody else has given them more values and more structure in their life. You know, she's a dedicated mother. She was also an athlete, as I was an athlete growing up.
Yeah.
So we kind of just instilled that, you know, dedication and commitment and focus and determination, all the things that you want your kids to grow up and have kind of organically. And we were very blessed that both our daughters are badasses.
Now you're 16-year-old.
Yes.
I can tell you right now that she's going through that whole, you suck, you don't know squat, I know everything, you know nothing phase. Is that happening for you too, at all? And the attitude where they don't want anything to do with their parents.
You know, it's crazy. I hear people say that all the time.
Oh, I can already tell I'm going to say he's lucky.
I am the luckiest guy on the planet because both my daughters are very open with us. They share us and tell us everything that's going on. We haven't, fortunately, experienced that. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we have our disputes. We have our arguments, right? However, they are so focused and so committed, you know, both personally and professionally in everything they're doing. We haven't hit that real good with either of our daughters. Right. So sorry about the noise down there.
No,
they're,
we did mention
building cars.
Yeah,
down
we
there.
Mentioned we are.
That's awesome.
We are recording live inside. Yeah. What's the name of this place again?
WS Customs. We call it Super Cats.
Super Cat WS Customs. Check them out in Vegas.
Yeah, there's some pretty amazing cars being built down there.
We'll
Mustangs
do some more video too.
Yeah, we are. Once we finish up, you know, in fact, I might even take this little video here when we're done and just do a quick little tour, or even we'll see what happens. We'll see what floats us. So. You're lucky. You're blessed, Brian. You haven't had to deal with an attitude of a teenager like we have.
Yeah.
I think you are more along the lines of the few, not the many.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Let's do that one. Okay. That's for Brian. Yeah. He doesn't have cans on. There's people clapping for you right now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
well done. All right. So 16 and 18. Have you lived in Vegas their whole lives?
So yeah. So we moved here in the early 2000s, and so I worked in the casino business for 20 years, and I worked for Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta, two of the biggest Las Vegas local casino guys. You guys probably know them as the owners of the UFC.
Right.
Right.
Right. So I moved here to work with them. And, you know, prior to that, worked with one of their businesses in their family office called Gordon Biersch Brewing Company. So we built that business up. And then when that was sold, I moved to Las Vegas and learned how to be a casino rat.
That is
very cool.
Casino is like one of my favorite movies. Is any of that era still happening today?
You know,
and anything that goes along in the intricacies.
Some of that stuff I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
So the answer is yes.
Nice.
You know, the industry is so regulated now. You know, there's a lot of publicly traded entities in the gaming business. So, you know, the Nevada Gaming Control Board has their arms in hands into everything you do. And it's super regulated and controlled. So, unfortunately, no, those things are long in the past. But, you know, it was an amazing time in my life to be able to work. For those two guys and learn the ins and outs of the gaming industry.
Is the term looser slots here an actual thing?
It is.
Okay,
yeah,
so how the hell do I find them?
Yeah, so in the locals market, that's a great question. In the locals market, obviously the players go to the properties literally every day, sometimes more than once a day, right? So you have to have a machine that's going to pay out more than a machine that would be on the strip, let's say, where guests are coming in maybe two or three times a year, right? So the frequency of visitation in the locals market is considerably higher than it is on the strip. So those machines actually do pay out more than they do on the strip. So, you know, single digit hold percentages from a house perspective in the locals market, double digit hold percentages on the strip. So you actually will win more money playing in the locals market than you do on the strip.
And what's the definition of locals market?
So there's about, oh gosh, I don't know, probably 30 to 35 different properties in the locals market. So they're out in the suburbs. You know, they're in the communities of Las Vegas. They employ tens of thousands of people in the Las Vegas locals market. So you've got like Station Casinos, Boyd Gaming, Golden Entertainment.
Right.
Those are the three of the big ones.
Okay.
And so, you know, that market employs tens of thousands of people in town. And it's literally, the gaming experience is identical to what you see on the strip. And so they have more restaurants, they're locals friendly. Like I said, you know, the staff there is super focused on guest service because they become really good friends and acquaintances with the guest.
Yeah.
They know them by name, you know, they anticipate their needs, they go do things for them that, you know, the service on the strip you may not get, you know, down there. You're just kind of you're a number down there. Whereas in the locals market, you know, people know you by name and they recognize you and they appreciate you every single day when you're coming in. Right.
So bottom line, stop throwing your money in the friggin' slots and where we're staying. I'm not going to mention where we're staying because we love them. And we want people to go and put their money in that place, New York, New York. Okay?
Well, the strip is iconic, right?
You
can't replace the strip. The experience you get there, this is the entertainment value, the restaurants, you know, just the experience of those buildings is second to none. You know, I consult for one of the biggest companies on the strip. I help them do strategy and marketing you know, it's an incredible opportunity to be able to experience the buildings down there.
If you were to mention a single restaurant that Nick and I must go to before we leave Vegas, and you can only pick one, can you do that?
I can.
Okay. Let's hear it.
SW Steakhouse at Wynn.
SW Steakhouse at Wynn.
It's
dinner tonight.
If we have time, we got like 87 more podcasts to do. If they're open past 9 o'clock, we'll see what we can do.
They are, yeah. But prime beef and just incredible seafood. The ambiance is amazing. There's actually a show out on the pond. You know, when you pull up to Wynn, you see all the trees and the, you know, basically as high as you can see is all trees. On the other side of that tree wall is the SW Pond. And there's a live show there that you can watch while you have dinner. It's incredible. And it's awesome. Under the stars. It's amazing. So there's no other experience in Vegas like SW Steakhouse.
Oh, do you have a steak in SW Steakhouse?
Named after me? No.
No.
No. But the New York Strip, prime New York Strip is my spot.
All right.
That's my slab of beef.
There it is.
All right.
Good to know.
We're going to have to make time.
Well, if you had just, decided to maybe spend some more time here this weekend, Nick Martin... This guy flies in yesterday, right? We're working today, and is leaving at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
I appreciate the tenacity and the drive that he has, a couple more days, more day would have been amazing.
Next time we're leaving the baby with the grandparents, and we'll spend a week.
Yeah, he brought a baby here, which is cool.
Yeah, no, it's
we've all been there.
No, it's not at all. I love the little guy, but no, it's...
Yeah, kids in Vegas are actually...
It's frightening, man. Walking around, we walked around a little bit last night because he doesn't sleep. So we actually have to take him for a drive. And we don't know the city, so we're like, well, we'll throw him in the stroller. And everybody's looking at him. So we're like, oh, no. Are they going to take him? So I grab him. I'm like, okay, babe, just you push the stroller empty. I'll carry the baby.
Yeah, they're not going to mess with you.
No, by the time I get back, I'm drenched in sweat. I'm like, this was stupid.
Yeah. Well, Vegas is a little more kid-friendly than it used to be. That's for sure.
Yeah
it's weird. It threw money in the machine, and the baby's right there on my arm, and I'm like, this doesn't happen in Oregon.
That's
now,
right.
Now, you should be able to answer that question. I didn't know what to think of it either. My son, he's 10. I brought him too. But he's 10. He basically takes care of himself if he wants to. But, growing up and walking through casinos underage, I knew, don't touch that machine. If you do, make sure you're doing it right.
That's right.
So I've got him with me. As long as he doesn't touch the machine, he could stand next to me when I gamble?
No.
Okay. He can't be on the casino floor, as far as I know.
Technically, no. Yeah, and usually security will find you in a matter of minutes.
Right.
They've got eyes everywhere in this town, right?
So I will,
21 and over on the casino floor is the rule.
Right.
As long as you're going from one destination to another and you're walking through the casino floor, maybe going to a restaurant or to a movie theater or something like that, then they're not going to stop you. Yeah. But definitely not sitting at a game.
Because that was my next attempt. Because all last night I'm walking through with him and no one's even batted an eye at me.
Right.
I'm going to sit down next, throw a 20 in and just see what happens, but now I won't. There's no need to.
I stood. I didn't even sit. I'm holding the baby.
they probably won't stop you.
So you probably could have sat him down on the seat next to me and we would have been good.
Probably.
How is it raising children in Las Vegas?
That's a great question. A lot of people ask that. I live in the suburbs, so, I don't come to the Strip very often. There's incredible schools here. There's a great support system. There's tons of parks and activities for kids. When my kids were babies, we put them in swim lessons. We put them in gymnastics. They evolved into cheerleading and competitive cheerleading. And, the environment in the locals market in Vegas is absolutely beautiful. Beautiful homes. I live on a golf course with an incredible view. So, it's not what everybody... thinks it is, or what they have in their mind is this preconceived notion of Las Vegas. It's an incredible place to live.
Okay.
Being a Raider fan, the biggest Raider fan that I think there is, me, we'll discuss who you like. You play sports. I know you got to like somebody.
I do.
Vegas. Okay. Who's your football team, man?
Well, it's the Raiders now. It used to be the San Diego Chargers.
Oh, and now you like the Raiders?
Well,
me going in the Chargers.
So
that's blasphemy.
So I wasn't a hockey fan before the Vegas Golden Knights came to Vegas.
Okay.
And I made a mistake of not getting season tickets.
Oh.
And I killed myself for that.
And after that first season God.
And so I went to tons of games, but I didn't get season tickets. So when the Raiders came to town, I said, I'm getting the best season tickets I can find.
And then
I've got season tickets and, getting to know the players. And yeah, that's true. Hopefully this year we will, knock on wood. So getting to know the players in town and the coaching staff and, some of the charity work I do in town, I've had the great fortune to be able to meet some of those guys and spend some time with them. And I know some of the employees that work at the organization. So it's been a lot of fun.
Okay, now because you said that, it just threw me off. What was my question, Nick? What was I going after here? Because here, the preconceived notion, bring your family up. Okay, where was I? Okay, you know what? I lost a question, so we're just going to go to the next.
Something about the Raiders and charity was what triggered you.
You said you knew the coaching staff and some of the players. We ask every one of our guests at the end of the show if they would be willing to name drop a person that they know that might be interested in doing Dadcast. And so far, we have produced great success along those lines. I mean, Randy Couture, you.
Hello, Randy.
We've got, I mean, who else have we got? I mean, Brett Young's come Brett on, Young, Stormy Warren. Warren. So I'm hoping, and it's literally this guest is on my bucket list. It's not, he's a family man. He's a great charity guy. He's a Las Vegas Raider. Do you know who I'm talking about yet?
It's not Chucky.
No, I'd love John on. That would be great. But no, man, Derek Carr. I want Derek on this show so bad, and he won't answer my tweets.
Is that right?
He's a busy guy. I get it, you know? And as far as he knows, I'm just some crazy fan.
So my good friend Shannon Jordan is head of the alumni for the Raiders. Uh-huh. We've done a bunch of incredible events with, you know, the NFL alumni, Gridiron Greats and all that. And we have I've hosted events with them. Mm-hmm. And Derek was super generous with his time. So
that's
I'm
what
sure
I've heard.
If anybody can get Derek, it would be Shannon.
Yeah, and you know him. So wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We'll talk about that later.
We can work on that.
That's, you know, we've got our unicorns of who we want to get on this show, and eventually we're going to get them all. Yeah. I mean, I have no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Okay, back to the family in living. I think I've gone back to where I was. It was raising a family in Las Vegas, and you said, you know, the preconceived notion is, you know, Vegas strip, gambling, casino, party after. I wouldn't mind living here. Because of, I've done the research. Summers are going to suck, right?
They are a little rough. But you go from air-conditioned home and air-conditioned building to the pool.
Right, there you go. So I can handle that. That's what I want to move here for the simple fact that I can get a Las Vegas Raider plate.
That's right. I have a Raider plate on a couple of my Harleys.
And that's nice. That's what I want to do, man. I wouldn't mind living here at all. Plus,
see, and I look at it more of the hub of what we're doing. This would be perfect to live here.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Everybody comes through Las Vegas.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Exactly.
And you know who doesn't come through Medford? Everybody.
Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's facts.
Got it.
Facts. Unless he's driving through to, you know, play Seattle, which they don't. They fly.
Yeah.
So raising the kids at high school? You said the 18-year-old? Is she graduate?
Yep, she's graduating this year.
Oh, man. So, Dad going to a graduation.
It's been a tough one for her. Yeah, obviously because of COVID.
Right.
You know, they haven't had the ability to go to school. So since March of last year, she hasn't stepped foot on campus.
Oh, man, yeah, that's been rough. My daughter's 16 at Grants Pass High. Same thing. Yep. No school. She played softball. Was, like, very involved in sports and nothing. Just completely cut off. So, it's been weird watching all these kids at but they're the parents of the kids that played sports all growing up through school. Like,
that's right.
And just they lose everything.
You know what my oldest decided to do? You know, badass athlete, both my daughters, by the way.
What do they play?
So they're competitive cheerleaders.
Okay.
Started in swimming and gymnastics when they were little. Worked their way up. They joined the most competitive cheer team in the nation called California All-Stars. Started in California. They moved to Las Vegas. My daughters were four-time Summit World Champions in competitive cheerleading. So the stuff you see on ESPN where they're throwing human beings, you know, 25 feet in the air, that's what my daughters do, right?
So I've seen Bring It.
It's pretty impressive, right?
It's Bring It On.
So,
okay. Sorry. Well, it's already been brought in.
So they train 6 days a week, you know, 3-4 hours a day for years and years and years. Wow. One world, you know, too many national titles to count, and then 4 Summit World titles between the two of them.
Wow.
So during COVID, my senior, her name's Leilani, she decided that she was going to learn how to be a bodybuilder and competed, trained, found a coach, a full-time bodybuilding coach, and trained 6 days a week, 2 to 3 hours a day during COVID while she's going to school and competed in her first ever bodybuilding competition as a senior in high school.
And the results?
She entered 3 different divisions.
Uh-huh.
Which is true novice, which is a competitor that's never competed before.
Right.
Won that.
Nice.
She entered novice, which is ladies that have competed but haven't been a champion. Mm-hmm. Won that. Then she entered in the open division, which I thought, you know what, sweetie? Congratulations for winning the first two.
Right.
no way in hell you're going to win the open division against ladies that have been doing this for years and years and years. And she won that.
Damn.
Clean sweep in her first ever competition. So to me, COVID, you make of it what you make of it, right? Yeah. So if the kids are going to sit around and mope and cry and do that, you know what? If you're self-motivated and you have parents that support you, you know, God willing, they're going to get out there and do things that...
So was it like secret workouts? Like in Grant's past, it's been kind of weird. It's like we have to go do like secret workouts and stuff. Yep. Like at my gym, it's like... They open up, like before everything opened back up, it was, okay, we'll give you a key. You're going to come in at 4 a.m., knock out your workout. You don't talk about it. You don't post on Instagram.
That's right.
So is it kind of the same down here?
So when she was, like a lot of the gyms were closed, right? So you had to be really strategic about when you went.
Right.
Once they reopened and they were at 25%, then she just got really aggressive about reserving her time and getting in the gym.
Okay.
And then as it's progressively, you know, opened up a little bit more, you know, it just got to a point where she could go whenever she needed to.
Nice. Yeah. So we had to do with my kids. So it's kind of figure out, okay, this is set times. You guys still want to do this? Let's knock it out and let's make it happen.
That's right. Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool to have that support system too. It sounds like you support your daughter quite a bit. And
yeah, both my wife and I. Yeah, I wrestled junior high, high school, college. She competed as a swimmer both domestically and internationally. So she's in an athletic family. So she's been blessed that way.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, it takes discipline. I mean, 90% of what she does is in the kitchen. I mean, she was cooking five meals a day. Jeez. No caffeine, no sugar, no dairy. I mean, just clean fish and green veggies, and that's it. You know,
that's insane.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, I wish I had that half of that. You know what? Screw it. 25% of that, and I'd probably be in better shape. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
It's all a lot of it's in the kitchen.
Yeah.
100%.
Exactly.
It's a lot of it's in the mind, though, man.
That's
in
true.
Fact, it's.
Yeah,
it's
but once you start doing the kitchen part and it's, and you start liking it, it comes easy. It's awesome. Like, you never go back to the crap you're eating before.
You've got a little bit of muscle. Have you competed?
Just a tiny bit. No, I don't compete. I just.
Oh, you don't?
No, I'm old, so I kind of. I'm old and I've got six kids, so I'm like, okay, I got to keep up with what they're doing.
That's a lot of work.
They're all older except for the baby. So, like,
so this is why you call it Dadcast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So eight kids between the two?
Oh, no, between mine and his, nine? We're like 370. Yeah, I've got three.
Got it. Nine that you know of.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Nine that we, exactly.
It's the running thing that the number goes up every episode for him. It's absolutely bad.
Yeah.
But no, seriously. He's got two more coming. Oh, that's the plan.
Yeah, so my wife and I are doing IVF right now.
Exact same reaction I get every time.
So,
so they're trying.
I was almost done raising
over 40.
My youngest before the baby is 14.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm almost done. He's almost graduated. We're doing good. I got remarried. She didn't have kids. She's younger.
There it goes.
She's like, I want to have kids. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So I got unfixed.
Wow, good for you.
And we're doing
it. Oh, you reversed
the whole situation.
The whole system, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, it's awesome. But I don't remember it being this hard.
I can't compare or give notes because I started so late.
Yeah.
You know, and you, I'm assuming the next stop is being a granddad, which we can, you know.
Hopefully in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I hear you. I'm right there with you on that one.
We both have awesome boyfriends, but we're not at that stage yet.
Yeah. Pump brakes. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
10 years at least, you know, preferably 30. Yeah. But, you know, I got, you know, I was 36 when I had my first kid. Mm-hmm. And he's got full spectrum, man. He's started young and now he's older. So it wasn't as hard when you were younger.
Yeah.
Period.
No. No,
you know why?
Because I was 17 when I had my first kid.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was like basically.
Yeah, that's young.
Yeah,
I was 30.
Baby having babies.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it was a lot of learning the first time. This time it's like, it's awesome because I know what I'm doing, know what to expect. I have money. I can afford to have the kid this time. So I'm not trying to like figure out, okay, I need to go work five jobs. It's like.
But what are you finding so difficult about it?
The energy. Like, it's weird. Like being in your 40s and you're like, oh my God, I got to chase an infant around
all
day.
Right.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the coolest feeling though. Like every time he looks at you, you're like, oh, this is awesome. Like he's like, you're like his hero. So that's the coolest part about this.
Yeah. There's nothing better than being a parent. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Being a dad.
No, exactly. That's the career highlight. You know, normally I would, this is the first episode where I didn't do a long, crazy, somewhat boisterous, extravagant intro for my guest. You know, you just got CEO of Vegas.
Give you CEO of life, dude.
Yeah, so
you're killing it.
And to top off every time, it's and let's not forget the biggest and best accomplishment of all, being a dad.
That's right.
And especially a good dad. You know, all you guys who aren't in the life of your kids, you know, I'm not one to talk your situation or your scenario, but come on.
That's right.
You know, what the...
Figure it out.
You know, how can you not... It's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's the most difficult thing in the world. But
even when your 16-year-old is, like, so mad at you and she hates you.
The still next day.
There's still that, like, 5 minutes of the day where she's like, Dad, you're my best friend. You're like,
that's right.
Oh, shoot. All right.
Yeah, and they need it. I mean, they need that support, especially now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they need the support. They need the guidance, you know, the advice. Like, that to me, that's the most important thing I provide. You know, guidance, balance, and advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a true testament to you as a man as well, Brian. The story you just told about your kid, what she did during the pandemic.
Crazy.
And going out and killing it like that. That, I mean, that's amazing. There's so many kids out there, mine included, man. Everyone is infected by what is infected. I said infected. Whoa. Back up. Affected by what is happening in the world. You know, our kids, same thing. They haven't. They're back in school now. They've been back about 2 weeks, but this entire year, you know, for a good 6 months, mom wouldn't let them out of the house.
Right.
You know, she's very, you know, precautious. And the mental damage that this has put on them and the effects that we don't even know about that's going to happen years from now because of what is happening, what I'm seeing from that story from you and your kids, I think they're going to be just fine, man. And
thank you.
That's testament to you, good sir.
Well, and an incredible mom.
Yeah, right. I know.
That's incredible mom. Yeah.
We're talking about dads here.
That's right.
It's all about the dads.
Keep it on the dads.
But no, you know, and this is a good time to mention too. We have yet to bring on a female guest. So if there's any women out there listening to this podcast who plays the role of dad as well, we'd love to have you. Bring it on. Come on. Let's there do some go. Chatting. Yeah. Let's talk about it. If there's any super famous single moms out there, we'd love to talk with you. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
I'm throwing it to you, Nick. Your turn.
Boy. See, now you caught me off guard.
We're trying to train them up, man.
Right.
It's like, I'm waiting for this, Nick. I'm waiting for one of these.
I'm jumping in every now and then.
Oh, we're not zooming it. No, you're doing great.
I've got some stuff. Yeah. But I got nothing right now.
Okay, so I do. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about you. Which we've, you know, because this hour is all about the CEO of Vegas, right. Brian Lindsay. We talked off the air about what you do around here, and it's a whole bunch of different stuff. Basically, you told me you were, and I quote, a serial entrepreneur, which I immediately hear serial, I think serial killer. And I said, he's a scary moneymaker along those lines. Let's talk about some of the projects you do and what you got going on here in Vegas.
Sure.
If that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, obviously being in the gaming industry for 20 years, met a lot of incredible people along the way and was able to, you know, kind of build those relationships and kind of forge some new opportunities with regards to, you know, the things that I was passionate about, right? You know, I left the gaming industry after a solid 20 years and decided that I didn't want to sign a new contract and be tied into the same job that I'd been in for the last 20 years. And I wanted to go out and do things that are going to make me happy, right? And so I started a consulting firm, and I started consulting with organizations that I had a specialty in. And so Wynn Resorts, Matt Maddox called me and heard that I was a free agent. And so I started consulting for Wynn Resorts, and I spent some time in Encore Boston Harbor right after they opened the Encore Boston property. Helped work on some strategy and some local marketing, the rewards program, which then parlayed into other consulting gigs in the gaming industry.
It sounds like they took your advice on the steak joint.
Yeah, well, my original gaming, at the beginning of my gaming career, I was in the F&B side of things, right? So I'm a foodie. I'll admit it, I'm a foodie. But, you know, that consulting business just flourished. And so I've got numerous gaming clients, both domestic and internationally, that I consult for. And I love gaming. I mean, that's always been in my blood, right? So that kind of fulfills that void of leaving the gaming industry full time. And I get to do the fun part about that business, which is, you know, the strategy and the marketing and being innovative and those types of things for big, large global organizations, which is a ton of fun. And Ben and I started this shop with Corey Thomas, the Hot Rod shop we're in today, which I'm sure you guys will tour around and check out Supercats and WS Customs. When this thing is done, I mean, obviously we're under construction, as you can tell, but when this thing is done, it's going to be the if you know, you know type place in Vegas.
Yes.
You know, we're building, you know, $250,000 to $300,000 custom cars down here. You know, this shop built my car that I, you know, the new engine I have in my car, built it from the ground up right here in this shop, which we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I can't wait.
But you know, so the shop is part of what I do every day. During COVID, some partners and I actually got together and licensed the best active indoor air treatment system in the world. It's a company called RGF. They're based out of Florida. We licensed their technology and we started a new company in the middle of COVID that's helping get America back to work. So our systems go up inside of an HVAC unit in a residence or in a commercial building. Mm-hmm. And the system is a rare earth mineral compound wrapped around a UV light and encapsulated inside a stainless steel. And when you install it in an active air conditioning system, it creates a hydrogen peroxide vapor. And that hydrogen peroxide vapor eradicates any contagions in the air, whether it's mold spores, SARS-CoV-2, you name it. Mm-hmm. And so you have air and surface purification with our system. And so we're installing in restaurants all over the country, all over Las Vegas, casinos, convention centers, arenas. I mean, TGI Fridays has them in every restaurant. Chipotle restaurants has one in every single restaurant.
Name drop. So go to Chipotle, TGI Fridays.
Safest restaurants in the country, right? Yes. So that has been, as you can imagine, with everybody concerned about the airborne contagion components of SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, that has been just an incredible way to help get America back to work. So I feel really blessed and honored to be able to do that every day. We have an incredible team there. It's called Environ Safety. So EnvironSafety.com is our
Brian, site. You got a killer radio voice. I mean, I've been hearing you, and now when you actually emphasize it, because I do that too for a living.
You got to go up and down.
I used to be on radio, and people ask me to talk this in a normal, casual conversation, and it really is strange for them.
Voice inflection.
But, you know, if all of your other entrepreneurial endeavors fail, you got radio voice.
You got voice. I always told I had a face for radio.
No, that's me. Oh. You know, you're a good-looking son of a bitch, all right? So good. You're going to do, you got great voice and good looks. Me, I'm ugly as sin and I'm fat, but I got this voice.
There you go.
So, you know, it's amazing my kids turned out as beautiful as they have, and my lady is still with me because she's gorgeous.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So anyway, I spend time, good for you, that's amazing. So I spend time on Environ Safety, you know, obviously the shop, and then, you know, one of my passions is mixed martial arts and combat sports.
Oh, now you're a badass too.
So yeah, so I wrestled my whole career. Yeah. Was a U.S. national champ. Wrestled on the world team. Went to Helsinki, Finland, and competed at the world championships. So you know, been on the mat my whole life. I had an incredible coach in junior high school, Rudy Guevara, one of the Olympic coaches actually. 2008 Seoul Olympics, he was the Olympic coach. Nice. And so it was in an environment in the wrestling room where I would just get my ass kicked every day. Figured out a way that, you know, you just pick yourself up and you know, keep battling.
Yeah.
And so I've always been passionate about combat sports. And mm-hmm. So there's an organization here in Vegas called Tough Enough, which was founded by a gentleman by the name of Barry Meyer. Rest in peace. He's no longer with us. But the innovator in amateur mixed martial arts. And Tough Enough has been around for 25 years. And his brother, Jeff Meyer, and his family, the Meyer family, have kept his legacy alive. And I am partners with them.
That's awesome.
On Tough Enough. Nice. And so we have an international distribution deal with UFCFightPass.com. Mm-hmm. So we have our fights that are on that platform. And then we have a TV deal with BN Sports Network. And so we're in 280 million homes. And so we have athletes every day that we sign that are fighting to get into the pro ranks. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one of our superstars, his name is Ryder Newman, wrestled at Green Valley High School, was a Tough Enough champion, went on to wrestle in college, and then came back to Las Vegas, is training with Randy Couture at Extreme Couture, is now on the new season of The Ultimate Fighter. They just announced it Saturday night.
That's nice. Awesome.
And so,
that's
he's a stud.
Does the name, it's a buddy of mine. He's a concert promoter in Chico. His son, Maximoff.
Okay.
Is that name strike a bell? And we're talking probably 19, 20 years old kid. Nick, I think is his name.
You know, we've got over 100 kids on our roster right now. So, I mean, there's...
He's trained with Diaz.
Is that right?
That's one of the brothers.
That's tough camp. Yeah. So anyway, awesome. So I spend a ton of time now that things are starting to open up again. We're rescheduling our fights. Mm-hmm. And so now this summer, we're going to get back in the cage and let these fighters fight do what they do. So super, super excited about that.
Who is your favorite UFC fighter of all time?
You know, that's a tough question.
I know it is.
You know, I would have to say Forrest Griffin. And
God, he's so badass, man. Yes.
He's such a great guy. And, you know, I'm on the board for Boys and Girls Club, and he does a ton of charity stuff with us and comes out to the clubs and, you know, shows the kids some technique and things like that. But in my opinion, Forrest and Stefan were the two guys in the UFC that made the UFC what it is today. Like, I've been around the Fertittas for 20 years, right? Mm-hmm. So I saw how hard they focused on the UFC and literally almost threw in the towel many times. And in fact, Frank and Lorenzo's dad told them, like, what are you guys doing? Like, stop this. You're just, you're losing tens of millions of dollars. And before they stopped, they did The Ultimate Fighter. Mm-hmm. And Forrest and Stefan was the catalyst that saved the UFC. And so to me, Forrest, you know, is just a consummate professional. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a dad, so he'd be great for the show. Right?
Definitely.
So
sign us up, man.
I can text Forrest. That's easy. Awesome. Yeah. Forrest is amazing.
Very cool.
So to me, you know, he's grounded. He works at the UFC Performance Institute, working with athletes and, you know, helping them stay focused on their careers and their family life and balance and, you know, works really closely with a lot of the athletes. Mm-hmm. So to me, you know, him, Randy Couture, I mean, those guys are guys that I'm personally friends with and, you know, love to hang out with those guys. So
I want to ask you about Conor McGregor.
Sure.
Have you met him? Do you know him? Okay. Is he the guy he portrays in all his, you know, media appearances, or is that a show?
You know,
or a little of both.
It is actually kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, he actually is a phenomenal man. You know, and super fun to be around. Mm-hmm. You know, really charismatic. The charisma he brings 24/7, that never turns off.
Oh wow!
Right. And so he's really an energetic guy. Right. You know, I think, you know, his ability to market himself, he's like the Muhammad Ali of the UFC, right?
I mean, yeah, definitely.
Like his ability to market himself is absolutely phenomenal. You know, do I think his days are done? I do. I don't think that he's going to beat Poirier in the third match. I think that you know, he came on the scene, stormed on the scene, was able to talk his way into some pretty incredible fights, and to knock out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. I mean, he said something, right?
Yep.
Gave him a platform, and, you know, God bless him. He took that platform and he utilized it to the fullest of his capabilities. So, I mean, he's made the UFC a ton of money. He's made a ton of money along the way. But I mean, he doesn't need to fight anymore. Right, like his motivations have completely changed. He's a dad, right? So
that's one of my other unicorns.
Yep.
So mine is Joe Rogan. You're all about UFC, so
sure. Yeah.
If you know Joe, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I know. We'd love to get Rogan on. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. One of the projects I invested in is my buddy Sam Hahn is a creator, mm-hmm. and he created a role bot. Basically, it's called a role bot. And it is basically a jiu-jitsu body that you roll with. And you know, Uriah Faber uses it. Yeah. Joe Rogan uses it. Mm-hmm. And so Sam Hahn is the creator of that technology. And we're getting ready to roll that out worldwide. It's a really killer, modern, futuristic-looking device that you roll around with. The arms literally snap and break and pop back in. The knees and legs and ankles, shoulders, everything disconnect and reconnect.
Are they like dialed into a certain pressure, human anatomy?
Yep. And there's springs and they're stainless steel inside the arms that are wrapped in this neoprene material. So it literally responds as good, almost as good as a rolling with a human. Mm-hmm. But Rogan's a big fan of that.
For the record, I've seen the Terminator movies, and this is how it ends.
It literally looks like the Terminator. I'll send you the link for it. You can check it out. It literally looks like the Terminator.
I've got a buddy up in Oregon, Tony Kell. He's ranked number one in the world in jiu-jitsu right now. He's just badass, and he was talking talking about something like that. So yep. I don't know if he's seen something out
maybe.
There.
Maybe. It's getting ready to hit.
But, yeah.
It's getting ready to hit the market right now. And it's,
yeah, he flies all over the country.
To compete in the jiu-jitsu, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's, your unicorn goal of getting Joe on the show, which don't get, I'm all for it, man. I am your biggest supporter on this. I just you know, this is what Joe does. He has a podcast. It's like, why would he? Why do you want to come on to Dadcast? You hear me, Joe? Why would you want to do such a thing, Joe Rogan? Joe Rogan, why would you want to come on Dadcast, Joe Rogan?
He might bring some of the good stuff with him. You never know.
That's right.
I'll bring it on. We're from Oregon, man. We ain't scared.
Yeah, you're at the root of it.
I was actually pretty excited. I found a few stores on the way down the strip. I'm like, whoa.
There's a couple big ones.
Tell them the story. You want me to tell the story? I might deliver it funnier. It's a one-liner.
Go for it.
We're walking through the hallway going to the car to come over here this morning. He goes, JP, we should get tattoos. This is okay. Whatever. What do you want to get? Let's get matching tattoos. I just got matching tattoos with my lady in Florida a couple weeks ago. He's like, yeah. And there's a gummy store right next door. So gummies and tattoos. I'm like, all right. I thought he took them on the way here. No, for later.
No. But I don't do that before we podcast.
But yeah, so Nevada's come a long way too. Is it now recreational legal marijuana THC or is it?
Yeah, so I mean that's been a pretty controversial thing here in town. You know, obviously, I being in the gaming industry, I have to stay completely away from that industry, right? So I don't know that much about it, but it's gone through various phases of approvals, and it's a booming industry in Vegas. I know
you guys
that.
Are quite a bit further than us. Though I could use my credit card in there. I can't use my credit card in Oregon.
Is that right? Yeah. Cash only.
Yeah. So you guys have come.
Yeah, that's not my expertise. I'm not big into that. So.
Well, that's just there. That's what OSHA wants to do up there in regards to that. But
it's OSHA banking. Yeah. It's all kinds of weird stuff up there.
So, hell, Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
Quit everything and went and started a farm.
Is that
and
right?
now is like, it's booming up there in what he's doing.
I'm a big fan just from listening to Rogan and stuff.
Sure.
And other UFC fighters, they do the CBD and a tiny bit of THC pre-workout. Right. It helps you stretch out a little bit more. So that's why I do it.
Yeah.
It's not to get stoned, but it's more.
Yeah, for me, I'm actually very gracious for the ability for that. My father was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and he was given 90 days to live basically. And every night he would call me and I lived right around the corner from him. He's like, I can't sleep. I can't stop thinking about, that my end is coming.
Right.
And so I said, Dad, the only thing I know of that might help you is to get yourself some CBD to help you sleep and relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And so the next day I took him down, he got his card and within 24 hours he was partaking in the magical flower.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, he relaxed for the rest of his life for the next 87 days and he didn't have the anxiety that he had and he went peacefully. And, I think it to be honest with you, that was a game changer for him. Mm-hmm. So, and I know a lot of people that use it to, for muscles and soreness and sleep and recovery.
Yeah,
so
kind of bad rap,
So, but,
Joe Rogan.
To each his own.
THC.
But Rogan would be fun. Yeah, he's
your father.
He's great. And he's a badass technician. I mean, there is not a move in the world of MMA that he does not know. Yeah, I mean, he's like
he's
best there is. Yeah.
Have you ever watched his fight videos?
No.
His technique is insane.
Yeah, he's nuts.
How come he's never fought?
I think he hurt himself.
Yeah, I think he has. I just don't think, it's just timing wise, I think Randy Couture is probably, the only guy I know that's my age, that's almost 50, that fought until his, into his mid-40s.
Right. He's, the only one over 40 to win a belt?
Yeah. So, he was just a phenom, right?
Yeah, I remember reading somewhere Rogan, hurt his knee or something. And couldn't compete or whatever, but he still trains every day.
Oh yeah, his grip is it's insane,
dude. Yeah,
yeah, incredible.
I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, no way.
I wouldn't know even to this day. No, thank you. I can't wait. Yeah, we actually were supposed to record him a couple days ago, but it got pushed back to next Friday. So I mean, we're looking forward to talking to Randy, man. That is
Randy's amazing.
That is
we do a charity ride, motorcycle ride. I'm a Harley guy too, not just a car guy. And so Ben and I and our buddy Brian Hopkins from Elvis and Roe, we work really closely with Randy and his Extreme GI Foundation.
Right.
And we get as many guys as we can to hop on our Harleys and go raise money for his foundation. And also, Tough Enough, I do a show every year and we donate 100% of all the proceeds to that show to Randy's Extreme GI Foundation. And Randy comes out, and he brings some of the Warriors with him, and they sit cage side with us. It's cool. Just a phenomenal man, and incredible legacy he's left. And the things he's doing for Extreme GI and the Wounded Warriors is absolutely incredible. So, really good guy. You're going to love working, having Randy on the show.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. And I'm all these ideas are spinning through my head. Having you on feels like it's opened up a lot of possible avenues. And what I just thought of right now, you know what Radio Row is doing the Super Bowl.
Sure, of course.
Right? Why not a podcast row that just includes us at one of these Tough Enough events, man? How many dads? Are, and we're not talking, okay, that guy comes in for an hour and then another hour. We're talking just a nice 5 minute. You know, they sit down, what's up, the next go through, and it'll help promote you guys, help promote us, get the word out for them, something.
Yep.
You know, these are just all the ideas that go in my head when, you know, it's not just you, Nick, who's got the entrepreneurial idea spirit, my brother.
That's right.
I'm running out of people to tweet. So
you could even get up inside inside of our cage, and you could do a broadcast live inside the cage.
Cool. Yeah. Or you know what? I'm willing to get my ass kicked for charity. So
me too.
You know what's...
I'm down.
Maybe he and I'll do it.
Oh, what was he? Is the fat guy?
No.
I'm as thick as he is. I just got a bigger belly.
We need a commentator. We got to have the master dad commentator.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, well then only if I get to try too. Then he gets to comment.
Or maybe I can
I kind of want to see that. I would love to see Brian Lindsay kick the out of you right now.
It would happen too. That's the sad thing. It's like,
you know, all these fights usually always end up on the ground, and the wrestlers typically.
And the good thing I wrestled in high school, almost 30 years. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's I did. Yeah. That was pretty good. So,
how much can you bench right now?
Oh, I did 415 about 3 weeks ago.
Oh shit! No, I'm about 305.
Okay, he's got the strength on you. Maybe,
once a year, my normal, it's like 185, maybe 225 on a good day.
Okay.
But, yeah. I try not to go heavy.
I don't either. My shoulders can't take it anymore.
My elbows, my knees.
That's the tough part about being an old dad.
Exactly.
I can bench press like 5 burritos, no problem, though, you guys.
Nice.
So
there you go.
Proud of you.
Boom, shakalaka.
So my gym's owned by a pro bodybuilder.
Okay.
So I go in there. He's an old friend of mine. This kid used to be like a little skinny BMXer, and this dude's freaking just huge now. It's like totally jacked. So it's like intimidating going in there with all his buddies and stuff. So I'm like the old dude, and I'm like, oh, okay. All right, I'll throw down with you guys.
Dude,
and
but you
keep up a little bit, but you know, they start throwing on 800 pounds and just knocking it out. I'm like, damn.
No can do.
But you, Nick, I don't know. I think you have a different perspective on, or a different image of self body image. Is that the proper term? You, sir, are... You're friggin' jacked, yo.
Yeah, he's got some.
I know if you take the shirt off, you may have a different opinion, but with that t-shirt on,
I'm working on this, man. This is like 200 sit-ups a day.
Well, you're doing good, man.
I'm proud of you. 3 miles on the treadmill every day.
There you go.
This is stock.
I like it.
Straight out of the package.
Straight stock.
Right off the shelf.
I would say it's about as thick as your arm. It's getting close. But, yeah, okay. Enough of that. Enough of the stock fat JP talk.
I still love you, buddy.
I know you do, man. Brian Lindsay, CEO of Vegas. After talking with you, you know what? I can't argue that fact. You've done it all, man, and you're not even done.
Yeah.
Just getting rolling. Yeah,
I'm going to roll back along into the girls here, your daughters, because this is Dadcast. What'd I tell you? Off the rails every single time.
I hear you.
But it makes for great stories. Does your daughter plan on going, the oldest, who's graduating college in mind?
She does, yeah. She's San Diego State.
Oh, cool.
SDSU,
yeah. I mean, growing up, that's where my wife and I met, in San Diego.
And it's not a bad town to be in, man.
No, she loves it down there. And, you know, we would always take them there for vacations and relax in Mission Beach. And we actually got married on the beach in San Diego.
Coronado?
We got married at the resort called Catamaran. So we got married. Her friend Ilsa Butler is one of the operations executives there. And so we got married on the beach there. And San Diego's got a special place for us as a family. And so she just said, you know what, there's no other place I'd rather be. And I said, well, go wherever you want to go.
It's not a bad school either.
So, it's a great school. Yeah. Awesome. So she's dedicated to go there. And, you know, we'll see what happens with COVID. Hopefully they allow... You know, students to come back in the classroom because right now I'm here and it's kind of up in the air.
Yeah.
So
I feel like it's closer than farther at this point now.
Yeah. We got an email from our school district saying that they're going to go all online next year.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're kind of transitioning.
We got the exact opposite down in Medford.
Yeah, it's weird. So we live 20 minutes away from each other. Like two. Yeah,
it's that different.
But there's weird. Two counties difference. Yeah, sure.
It's weird. Yeah. 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 They're like, yeah, brace yourself for distance learning, social, like
they can't do it. It doesn't
it's gonna
work.
Ruin our future. You need interaction. Yeah.
What I don't want is my daughter going off to college and like her friends, she has friends that are there right now that sat in their dorm room and logged into their class from their dorm room. I'm not doing that. She's not doing that.
Yeah. So what's the point? You can do that from home and
she
be with family.
Take a COVID year. And train and compete and do whatever she wants. Yeah. My youngest obviously has 2 years left of high school. So, she'll be hopefully be able to go at least, a hybrid learning system. Right. At least maybe she can go 2 or 3 days a week.
Yeah.
5 days a week would be amazing.
Kids, man, they need the interaction. They need to have all that social stuff. And
It's just, it's been hard on every child, to be able to not be able to go to school. So I hope we can figure out a way to get them in the building.
Mm-hmm.
I think once all the vaccines start rolling out, and if everyone takes it, regardless of your stance on that, we won't go there. But I think once that happens, we're going to see a little bit of normality. Is it normalcy?
Yeah,
they're both words, but it has to happen, man. Yeah.
Normalcy
for the sake of the kids. Right. I say normalcy too. Yep. I'm glad you said that, John Nelson of Medford. If you're listening to this, see. Brian Lindsay, the CEO of Vegas, said normalcy. He was a friggin' grammar Nazi. He called me out on it. Said that's not right. So I literally posted a definition that I found of it, and it said, while most people use normality, normalcy is a derivative of said word. And then he goes and said, see, you even called yourself and said you're wrong. I said, that's right there, man.
I'm so confused.
I'm sorry. I mean, do this, man. I go off on tangents, man.
Everybody wants to get back to normal. So normalcy is...
Thanks for bringing me back, Brian.
There you go.
Need a job? No, you got plenty.
I do. I have plenty. I don't even know. Yeah, that's for sure.
Nick?
Yes?
What do you think, man, of this Vegas tour we're doing?
I love it. I want to move here.
We're nearing the end of our first episode in Vegas.
Yeah.
Man.
I love this atmosphere that we're in. This is awesome. I like doing these.
It quieted down. Is it lunchtime?
Yeah, the boys must have gone out to lunch. Yeah. I mean, we've got a Mustang down there. We've got a Charger down there.
Ben was talking about this bad boy that's sitting right below us.
Yeah, this Mustang.
They completely reframed up from the underneath.
Yeah,
when
we brought this in.
Fabrication on the rear bumper.
That's right. We brought that Mustang in, and as we started ripping it apart to restore the whole thing, the floorboard was completely rotted out. So they custom fabbed the entire floorboard, made it into basically a racing roll cage all the way around the entire interior, laid a completely new customized floor in it, and then they're wrapping the edges of this thing. You guys have to get some pictures and show some videos of this, but it's incredible. There, it's got all the original paint on it, original interiors. I mean, it is a beast. Nice. And we put a modern motor in it and stage 3 roller. I mean, it's cam, and it's going to be bananas. Uh-huh. So
B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yeah. Won't be as badass as my 427 sitting out front.
Oh, are you kidding me?
We almost forgot about that.
I didn't forget. Oh, yeah. Okay, we almost did. So, yes, you have a Cobra.
I do.
Now, is it a kit? Is it an original or is it a combination type deal?
Yeah, so it's pretty unique. So I bought it actually from Ben Carey.
Okay.
Right. So it was built by Super Performance down in California.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an original Cobra, but it has a solid original aluminum block. Mm-hmm. It's in the Shelby registry.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So which is very, very unique. Mm-hmm. And it has all the features of the original Cobras. Right. When I took the car from Ben, I basically stole it from him. He never wanted to sell it, right?
Right.
And I just said, Ben, if you ever sell that car, do not sell it to anybody but me. And so finally one day he just said, you know what? I don't have time to drive it. I'm too busy performing and doing my thing. And Elvis Monroe was taking off at the time. And he just said, you know what? It's yours. He said, but I get to drive it whenever I want. I said, of course. So right after I got it, we yanked the engine out of it and brought it here to WS Customs and Supercats, and we rebuilt it from the bottom up. And literally, it used to be a 427, a 1965 427, uh-huh. and now it's a 487. And it literally, you can hear it coming miles away.
We did.
rattles the house, and we juiced it up. It's bored two over, and it's got, you know, basically everything from the rear drive shaft all the way to the front taillights or front headlights is completely redone. So you'll have to go. Maybe we could just go for a quick spin. Did you bring a diaper?
this ain't my first rodeo, but I will duly note it.
It's probably the most violent, fastest and most violent car experience you will ever have in your life.
Oh, I'm in.
And yeah, absolutely bonkers.
Nice. What's the term? We've done so good. We haven't cussed on this once.
It's been a few episodes.
We have. Yeah, we've really cleaned up our act.
Yeah.
But I got to get a radio delete button. I'm not going to say it. Okay. But you've seen the meme. F it. I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm in. As soon as we end this podcast, let's rock and roll. And I'll grab this camera right here.
There you go.
So we'll do a continuation of this episode as soon as the credits roll on the audio. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick ride in that badass Cobra. Don't go anywhere. Keep watching. Okay? You hear me? You paying attention there, viewer? We'd appreciate that. This car is beautiful. It's amazing. You know what else is beautiful? You are a beautiful man, Brian Lindsay.
Appreciate
you, you've done
thanks,
it all.
Guys.
You guys are amazing. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. I hope to get to do this again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Inside the Octagon.
Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. Tough enough show. So that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I'd love to. Nick's going to get his ass handed to him.
Yeah. Why not? I was going to let Jordan Farmar kick my ass in basketball.
Oh, so was
why
I.
Why not?
That'd be great.
41-year-olds, that should be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait. All right. So this is Dadcast, and we are signing off. Big thank you to, once again, Mr. Brian Lindsay, CEO of Vegas. And as always, we cannot leave without doing one of these.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Dadcast.
We'll see you next week.
Take care.